your home of the Pens and the best Pens coverage. WXDX FM Pittsburgh, an iHeart Radio station.
I watched that game last night between Tampa Bay and Washington, and it just might be Tampa's year. Tampa won in overtime at Washington by a 5-4 score. Vasilevsky had to make 54 saves for Tampa, and the Lightning conceded the tying goal with 53 seconds left in regulation. Tampa kind of pulled a Pittsburgh, I guess you could say. And it's a save Vasilevsky could have made, but he did make 54 of them on the night. All's well that ends well for Tampa, because Victor Hedman scored a great goal in overtime. And now Tampa has beaten Washington twice in 5 days. And the two teams play again on the 30th. I'm really starting to buy into the Lightning. I know I'm a bit late to that party, because others have been convinced for quite some time, but I'm taking them very seriously. This is the Mark Madden Show. We got the Pens at Nashville tonight. You can hear all the action right here on the X. And you can come watch the game with me, the Super Genius, at the Boulevard in Greensburg. Those Pens viewing parties are a lot of fun, so come check it out at the Boulevard in Greensburg. But right now, call 412 at Mark Madden X. Just give me the dirt. Give me what I want. Till it hurts. That number again, 412-333-WXDX. Of course, people are still talking about the toxic twins, Bell and Brown. I told you, you think they're gone, but they're not gone. They're hiding behind the screen door like Bill Murray and What About Bob? They might play for other teams, but they are never going to leave. Now, some people are finally starting to get the right idea. Like Chris Carter on Fox. Let's hear what he had to say about the toxic twins' departure.
Let's not get away from what's Ben's number one responsibility. When he was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we should note this, Pittsburgh Steelers create the culture, all right? Ben Roethlisberger rolled into that culture, all right? Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert, they create the culture. We can't blame that on Ben Roethlisberger. Now, Ben, is there a difference between great leadership, leadership styles? Yes. But his number one responsibility is to lead the football team, which he did when they were defensive dominated and led them to a Super Bowl. He made sure they didn't blow it. And then after that, Ben led them to the Super Bowl. So your number one responsibility, regardless of what your assignment is, to do your job. And that's to deliver the football to the players who deserve to be able to get the football, or the way the coaches have played it. So we can't distort this. We're starting to talk about a lot of different stuff. I can play with Ben Roethlisberger. You know the reason why? Because he's a damn good quarterback. And he's going to deliver the mail where the ball but he needs to be delivered. And I played with a bunch of bad ones. So let's not get that mixed up as we A.B. whining and took himself out of Pittsburgh. L. Bell, because he didn't get the guarantees, he's out of Pittsburgh. That's not Ben Roethlisberger's fault.
That's Chris Carter on Fox. And can I get an amen? A.B. and Bell have said things that are so ridiculous that maybe people were slow to react because they couldn't believe what they just heard. Bell saying the Steelers don't treat you like a human being is just insane. I got a blog about that posted at the X website. The Steelers might be the most woke organization in sports. Let me count the ways. One, they're paying Shazier, who can't play when they don't have to. Two, the Steelers came up with the Rooney Rule. Three, the Steelers have had a black coach since 2007. Four, Dan Rooney campaigned for Obama and served as his ambassador to Ireland. The Steelers are so woke, it makes you sick. Bell and Brown and Shannon Sharpe and Jemele Hill and all the other stooges, all they do is lie. I bet Lev Bell doesn't even remember who Barack Obama is. But Chris Carter, he's got the Steelers figured. Somebody does at long last. And Skip Bayless today said Ben Roethlisberger is his early favorite for MVP. Let's hear what Skip Bayless had to say, also on Fox.
You tiptoed into your argument this time, but in the past, for the last month or so, you have crushed Big Ben Roethlisberger on this show. And I think you proceeded to crush him in what you just said, because even though you say you don't take sides, and
I try not to.
You're kind of leaning a little toward Le'Veon, and then you went way overboard for Le'Veon in all the points that you just made. Mm-hmm. And you know what I think you're on your way to doing?
What?
I believe you're on your way to talking Big Ben Roethlisberger and winning next year's MVP in the National Football League. I'm going to make him right now my early favorite for MVP just because of all of the above.
Over Brady?
It has become, yes, sir, over Tom Brady, because it has become open season on a guy, the last time I checked, who you went all the way back to discredit his rookie year, but he was offensive rookie of the year in the National Football League. That's something. You got to give him that, right?
They were 15
okay.
and one.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying he was offensive rookie of the year, and it's open season on this quarterback who's played in three Super Bowls and won two of those Super Bowls.
Right.
And this is a quarterback, open season on him, who's been to six Pro Bowls and who last year finished third in the NFL in QBR. Not only that, but he led the NFL in passing yards last year with a career high 5,129 yards. He went over 5,000 passing yards last year and also had a career high 34 touchdown passes. Open season on this guy. He's the reason the Steelers missed the playoffs last year, even though he is a guy who in the postseason is 13-8. That's the sixth most all-time wins of a quarterback in the postseason. 13 wins. And would you believe that Big Ben Roethlisberger, as the quarterback of the Steelers, has led them to seven AFC North titles? That's pretty good. Right?
Yeah. That's
pretty good. So that guy is just getting annihilated by two malcontents who are not happy with their money in Pittsburgh as they are leaving town. They are shooting and firing away at Big Ben Roethlisberger, that quarterback that I just detailed. They have made him the scapegoat of what happened to last year's Pittsburgh Steelers, and you are actually letting them get away with that. And you want to know the truth?
What's that?
Both of those guys, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, they will miss being Pittsburgh Steelers. Sooner than later, they will miss it. They won't admit it publicly, but they'll look back on their day saying, God, that was pretty great there, because we had the flying circus offense because we had a quarterback who could just shrug off rushers and get us open. That's including Le'Veon downfield.
Where'd they win them?
And, boy, they won a lot of games.
Oh, that's
they won a lot of divisions.
So you winning game, division,
well,
Super Bowl?
I don't know, but he's been pretty good, and I'm not sure you can blame him for what happened last year when he put up numbers like that.
What about all those interceptions?
He did. He led the NFL in interceptions.
Oh,
he also led in passing yards and touchdowns.
Okay, well,
because he's throwing it all over the lot.
Okay.
He is trying things. He's trying to get the ball to 84 when 84 ain't open.
Okay.
He's just throwing it up for grabs, hoping that 84 will go make a play for him.
That's Skip Bayless talking to Shannon Sharp on Fox. I think Skip Bayless and I just became best friends. Everything Skip Bayless said is right, and Ben's my early favorite for MVP as well. And if you want to really listen to that soundbite, you know what I heard behind? What I heard besides Skip Bayless spitting truth? I heard Shannon Sharp just not agreeing with anything because he was predisposed to not agree with anything. And there's a reason for that, and we all know what it is. There's a reason Shannon Sharp will never stop going after Ben and never stop helping AB and Le'Veon Bell. And don't tell me you're so stupid you don't know, because it's obvious. 412-333-9939 is the number to call. Ben's going to be the man. I hope somebody's the man for the Penguins tonight at Nashville. And tonight's a big night. The Islanders are at Montreal. Tampa's at Carolina. Tampa could easily have a letdown after last night's big win at Washington. Columbus is at Edmonton. The Penguins badly need 2 points. And it's doable. Because the Preds aren't the powerhouse too many media stooges like King Blogger pretend. Who'd they ever beat? They got the rep because they have fun bars around their arena. It's all about having fun. And because their fans are a bunch of cornpone non-hockey bumpkins who don't recognize mediocrity even when it's skating right in front of their big fat faces. Nashville and Pittsburgh have the same amount of points. The Penguins are hardly underdogs tonight. Well, I mean, they are for the betting public, but I see this as a winnable game. It went well at Nashville in 17, you may remember. So the Penguins need to get 2 points, period. Maybe Hornquist and Kessel will both score at even strength. And after that, then maybe the sun will fall out of the sky. The Penguins only have 4 goals in their last 3 games. They've run into some hot goalies, to be sure. But it might not be any easier tonight with Pekka Rinne in goal for Nashville. Then again, the Penguins have a decent track record against Rinne, don't they? Maybe we expect too much out of the Pens. Like I said, they have the same amount of points in Nashville. We're frustrated, and those hicks down there are acting like it's Carrie Underwood dipped in Dolly Parton. We got Josh Owey at 3:30 talking hockey. We got our old buddy Hal Gill from the 09 Stanley Cup Champions here in Pittsburgh. He's now doing color commentary for the Predators. I'm Mark Madden, 105.9.
This is Matt Cullen of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and you are listening to Mark Madden on the home of the Pens, 105.9 The X.
Penguins at Nashville tonight, and if you want optimism, okay. I got some positive notes about the Pens. Chris Letang is back, and he played great at Carolina. Jack Johnson is in peak form. In fact, the whole defensive core looks pretty good. If the games were 58 minutes long, the Penguins would lead the Metro Division. It's not like they're playing bad from bell to bell. Jake Guentzel just keeps scoring. And that's it. That's the list. The Penguins need secondary scoring. Heck, they need primary scoring. They need any scoring. They need Kessel and Hornquist to score some 5-on-5 goals. Right now, the Penguins really are a one-line team. And how do you fix it without Evgeny Malkin, who is week to week? I was watching ESPN a bit this morning, and I used to say it was unfairly tagged as being woke. But that's not unfair. In fact, it's true. All ESPN is viewpoints from a certain perspective or sob stories or just anything but straight sports. And that's what ESPN wants to be. I guess so, okay, but I'm just not interested. I want sports, and maybe just occasionally, I'd like things told from my perspective, which never happens, like, never. In that vein, the Seattle Mariners are playing regular season games in Japan right now. And Ichiro played in a couple games as a farewell. He took a couple at-bats, 0-for-2. These are actual regular season Major League Baseball games. And a 45-year-old guy who retired last May got to play because everybody likes him and he was in his home country. We don't compete anymore. We just want good stories. And if we have to, we'll compromise the competition to manufacture the good stories. Ichiro may be the greatest hitter of all time, but this was silly. Stuff like this is trickling up from high school sports, and I don't even like it in high school sports. So now Ichiro retired again because he did it last May, but he wanted to play a bit of rec baseball in front of his country, so he got the chance. In, I guess I have to call it a semi-legitimate Major League Baseball game, semi because he participated. What's the Japanese translation for FFS? So much about sports is just manufactured, and by manufactured, I mean stupid. This is stupid. Baseball types are bitching because Tampa re-upped the Cy Young Award winner. He's early in his career, so he had to take what they gave him. That's Blake Snell. The Rays gave Snell a raise of $15,000 and $500 to be exact. Don't spend it all in one place, lad. Dude won 21 games and led the American League in ERA. But that's the CBA. That's all the rights Snell has. He's not reached arbitration. But yo, before you talk about how terrible the Rays are treating Blake Snell and workers of the world unite, Bryce Harper didn't voluntarily take less. Why should Tampa voluntarily give more? Just like you can't make teams give Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell what they want. Just like you can't make teams promote minor leaguers that are ready because the teams want to control their service time a bit more advantageously. All that is in the CBA. I don't see no complaints being filed by the players' union. You can't force the dudes with money to give it away on terms that aren't theirs, because it's their money. They own the teams. They own the game. The players are disposable. If baseball wants to fix all that, adopt a salary cap, because the cap is what's fair to everybody. The very top guys might make less, but Keuchel and Kimbrell wouldn't be unemployed right now. Believe it or not, a salary cap in baseball would be good for a majority of the players. Cam Newton of the Carolina Panthers said he went vegan in February, and he also quit climaxing. Yep, he said that on national TV. I quit climaxing on that James Corden show, to which Corden said, shut the front door. It's all going to hell, and it's all going to hell rather quickly. Up next, going to talk hockey is live in Nashville. From theathletic.com, it's Josh Owey. Josh Owey up next on 105.9 The X.
This is Oli Madden of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and you're listening to Mark Madden and the best hockey talk on the home of the Pens, 105.9 The X.
Before we get to my guest, the big news is the Deadwood movie premieres on HBO on May 31st. Joining me now, despite being upstaged by that little nugget, he covers the Penguins for theathletic.com. We welcome to the program Josh Owey. Josh, is there any way for tonight's game to be just 58 minutes? Because the Penguins are fine for 58 minutes, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, I actually thought they played really well in Raleigh the other night. And I thought they were particularly good in the third period for at least the first 18 minutes or so. And I would say that about a lot of these games. The game in Buffalo, they blew late. Even the Sunday night game against Philly, I thought they clearly outplayed them. So if you want to take the glass half full approach, I guess you could say the Penguins are actually playing pretty well right now, and they are. That said, they're not going to win the division now, and they actually would have had a real chance, I think, if they just wouldn't keep blowing these leads night after night.
Specifically, what do you see going wrong at the end of games? Because whatever can go wrong does go wrong.
Yeah, it's really hard to pinpoint one thing. Although, honestly, if I had to pick one thing, I think Matt Murray's the biggest culprit. And I will say, he's been very good lately, and I know what his numbers are the last two or three months. But that goal the other night, that's a bad rebound. You got to catch that shot from the point. You just do. The goal doesn't happen if he makes that initial save. And the Philadelphia outdoor game, that was a terrible goal he allowed to forecheck. Even the Sunday night game, the Couturier or the JVR goal, not a great goal. Not a horrible goal, but not a great one. So he needs to be better at the end of games. And I realize he's been very good. I know what his numbers are since December. I'm hardly being critical of him. But if there's one problem at the end of games, I would point to him more than anybody else. But that said, Mark, you know as well as I that this team has accrued a lot of very poor defensive habits throughout the course of the season. And sometimes that stuff pops up when the game's on the line.
Well, it's weird because I think they have good defensemen at this point, but you're right, poor defensive habits. Now, the Penguins aren't scoring right now, and how much of that problem is facing a bunch of hot goalies these last three games?
It's part of it. And, you know, I know Evgeny Malkin's not having a great season, but him being out of the lineup is a big deal.
It just makes the Penguins so much easier to check. It makes them a one-line team, really.
Yeah, it's just all of the attention goes toward Crosby. The power plays were, and I know Malkin's had his struggles on the power play, but in many ways it still goes through him. He's still arguably the greatest weapon on that power play with his ability to one-time the puck and everything else that he can do on the power play. So the Penguins are absolutely a one-line team right now. Yeah, the goaltending's been good, no question. But in my experience with this particular Penguins team, when they are playing the way they're capable of, there's no goaltender that should really be shutting them down. So I don't usually give other goaltenders too much credit. I don't think it's as deep of a team as we've seen from the Penguins the last few years. I know some people have been critical of Mac Tullin recently. Well, he's playing on a line with Garrett Wilson and with Joseph Blandisi. What do you expect him to do? Those aren't NHL caliber goal scorers. They're far from it, in fact. So it's just not a team that has a lot of depth. And whenever Sitlin has an off night, which doesn't happen that often, whenever it does, they're just not scoring. That's what I see.
Well, looking specifically at Patrick Hornquist and Phil Kessel, they haven't scored at even strength for ages. Hornquist for 28 games and Kessel with 24. What's going wrong with those two? I know you spoke to Jim Rutherford, and he thinks Kessel's going to snap out of it, but I'll be blunt, I see no signs right now.
I don't either. I thought he was really bad in Raleigh the other night. I was in the locker room after the game. Phil was like literally walking around talking to himself. He was so angry at himself. You can kind of tell it's in his head right now that he's struggling and he's not sure why. People don't want to hear this, but when I watch Phil play, I see a guy that maybe has lost a quarter of a step. He's 31 now. It happens. I don't see him blowing past defensemen the way he did 3 years ago. He just doesn't do that. And I don't remember the last time he let off one of those patented shots going down the right wing. Well, you know, you have to free yourself of defenders to get open for that look, and I just don't see him doing it anymore. I don't see him pulling away. So, you know, if that's the case, he's going to have to reinvent himself a little bit. And I realize he's still putting up a point per game on paper, but the last 2 months he's been horrible. For anybody who watches him play, you know, the turnovers, the bad penalties, the bad decisions, the inability to finish plays, he's just not getting open looks. So there's a lot of issues with Phil right now. He might be their single biggest problem, Mark, because Matt Murray's playing well. This blue line is pretty darn good. We know what Crosby has done, and as inconsistent as Malkin has been this season, history tells us he'll show up in the biggest games. Phil Kessel, to me, though, is a huge red flag the way he's playing, and they need him to be way better if they're going to go anywhere this spring.
We're talking to Josh Owey. He's brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 50% or more on car insurance. Seems like Ole Mott is ready to play, Josh. He took the skate this morning. I know he won't play tonight, but how do you see that playing out, Mata's status?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I think he'll be in the lineup when everyone's healthy, if I had to guess.
But not tonight yet.
No, I don't think he'll. No, he's not going to play tonight. But he's about ready. At some point in the short trip, Dallas and New York is up next. He might well be ready for game action. It's going to be interesting. They're not going to touch the right side. You got Letang and Schultz, and needless to say, good Branson has been wonderful. So that's your right side. And on the left side, Dumoulin obviously will play with Letang. I don't think they're going to break up the Jack Johnson-Justin Schultz combination, nor do I think they should. They've been so good. So is it Pettersson or Mata? I think Mata will be given the first crack, given his resume. And I'm fine with that. But that said, Pettersson's been quite good. It's not like he deserves to be benched. And I guess it's a good problem to have, but it's going to be interesting to see how it works out.
When did Jack Johnson turn a corner, Josh, and how did he do it? Because for the first 2 months, he was brutal.
Yeah, I mean, he was, and he really didn't start playing well until February. You know, it's funny. I was one of three people, I think, who Jim Rutherford spoke to right before the outdoor game in Philly. And ironically, it's not like we get together and, you know, talk about what questions we're going to ask him, but we all ended up asking about Jack Johnson, and he just, to all three of us, defended him vehemently. And, you know, frankly said some things that I'm not so sure were true. He said Jack was having a good year. I don't think he was. But maybe Jack needed a little bit of reassurance from the coaching staff or from his general manager, maybe, because from that point on, he has been so good starting in the outdoor game in Philadelphia. And obviously playing on the left side has been quite helpful. He should not be playing on the right side, and I think we learned that. And, you know, I think the addition of Justin Schultz beside him hasn't exactly hurt either. They've been good together. But for whatever reason, since about February 20th or so, Jack Johnson has been a very good hockey player for the Penguins.
Is Gensel ever going to stop scoring? Because he's in a rhythm, so smooth, a finishing that you don't often see, not even from great players.
Yeah, he is. I suppose he'll slow down a little bit, but I'd be shocked if he doesn't get 40 at this point. He needs three more goals now. And the way he's going, I don't think he's going to stop, and I know Sid wants to get him to 40. And what I like about Jake, he can just score in so many different ways. You know, he, for a little guy, he will score the dirty goals. He goes right to the net, just like Sid, which is one of the reasons that Sid really enjoys playing with him. But he can score on the rush. He can score shorthanded. He can score. You saw the slap shot from the slot against Carolina the other night. It's just incredible to me the way he can score from different areas on the ice in different ways. And no, that this is a legitimate all-star caliber hockey player, and he just keeps getting better and better and better.
Now, despite these frustrating losses, the Penguins are still very likely to make the playoffs, and I think finish second or third in the Metro. Montreal's too far behind, and the other teams can't get traction. How does the dressing room see the playoff race, and how do you see it?
Well, yeah, I don't think they care about winning the division, and that's a good thing because I don't believe they're going to. It certainly looks like it's Washington to lose at this point. And also remember, and the Penguins know this, they've got two games at the Rangers and two games at the Red Wings left in the last 10 days of the season. You know, that's a pretty soft schedule to have. They're going to make the playoffs, and they know it. In fact, I was talking with Matt Cullen this morning about it, and he said, you know what, we just have to – he said three things. We got to get healthy, we got to get Geno back, and we have to keep playing the game the way we're playing right now. And that was a reference to – and he even said the outdoor games when it started. And when Letang and Dumoulin went out, they altered the way they were playing. It was, you know, playing a little smarter, not giving up odd man rushes every other shift.
Yeah, except for 19 seconds left against Philadelphia Sunday, but I digress.
Correct. Well, yes, that wasn't exactly an ideal time to do it. But in general, I agree with them. They have been better in that regard. And I think the thinking is, and Jim Rutherford even told me that yesterday, he said, don't judge us until we have Geno. And he said, I really like how we're playing. I think we can make a run. And I believe him. I think they do believe that. They are not without their flaws. But if they do play the game that way, they can be a little more disciplined. They still have a puncher's chance, I think, and I think they see it that way as well.
Well, I think it's about matchups, obviously, Josh, but in that vein, because I don't want the Penguins to match up against either of these teams, did you see the game last night between Tampa Bay and Washington? I'm finally ready to say the Lightning are for real, because these two wins over Washington in the past 5 days, they've looked just phenomenal.
Well, they have, and what's noteworthy is Tampa has zero to play for in either of those games. And the Capitals are trying to win the division, so Washington, theoretically, is much more motivated. And the Lightning still beat them 20. They are the favorite. There's no question. I realize they haven't done it before, but when you look at their record, this isn't just a President's Trophy winning team. This is a team that's running away with it. This is a great team. There's no question about that. Now, do I think the Penguins would have a better chance against them than a lot of teams in the East? I do. I also think it's in the Penguins' best interest to avoid them for as long as possible. So, yeah, you don't want to get a wild card matchup. And even though I think the Penguins absolutely could beat the Capitals, you don't want to start the playoffs against them. I think that goes without saying.
What's your take on Nashville, the Predators? They got a lot of hype, and they made big moves at the deadline. But they have 89 points, the same as the Penguins. Yet here in Pittsburgh, we're worried. And in Nashville, as too often, because they're a bunch of corn-pone country hicks, optimism flows freely.
That's a very nice description of them, Mark. You know, I will say this for them. They've made enough playoff runs, and of course they got to the final 2 years ago. Maybe they don't care about the regular season quite as much as they once did. I mean, I think that's a possibility anyway. They're kind of a veteran team. They know that you have to win in April and May. But I don't know. I think you like to say whatever they've never had, they still don't have. I feel that way with them. I like their blue line a lot. They have a lot of depth. They don't have the one guy who can just take over a hockey game or take over a series. That's hurt them in the past. I have a hunch it might hurt them again in the future.
Josh, are you going to party in Nashville tonight? They got all the bars by the rinks. That's what makes them a good hockey town, of course. And, of course, there's that, what do they call it, the Nashville hot chicken?
I don't like the hot chicken that much. And, honestly, I don't even like this road trip now that Paul Sagarwal's not on the road anymore. It's really not as much fun without Saggy.
I hope he's listening. I'm sure he'd appreciate you saying that. Why specifically is it less fun without Staggy?
Well, I mean, Mark, I don't know that I want to get into specific details, but let's just say that Paul Sagarwal is a good time on the road. And there's a place called Robert's Western World in Nashville. It's his favorite bar ever. It's kind of a dive, but Staggy likes it, so do I.
If it's kind of a dive, I'd probably like it myself. Josh, great stuff. Enjoy the game. We'll do it again next week.
All right, Mark, you got it.
That's Josh Elley, brought to you by Geico. Up next, we're going to keep talking Penguins. Some really bad news about local college basketball. Not this NCAA crap. I don't give a rat's ass, but some bad news about local college basketball. That's up next on 105.9.
This is Matt Murray of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and you're listening to Mark Madden and the Best Hockey Talk on the home of the Pens, 105.9 The X.
Here Here's the bad news about local college basketball. Pitt and Duquesne will not play the city game next season. Apparently, they're still negotiating for the 2 years after that, but they will not play this season. And I'd love to hear the reasoning. That's the one thing about local college basketball that still concerned me. The only thing. And I think there are more fans than me that feel exactly that way. Preliminary snooping on Twitter seems to indicate Pitt wanted another home game instead of playing a neutral site game at PPG Paints Arena. Well, then, okay, play home and home. Play at Pitt 1 year, play at Duquesne the next year, play at PPG the year after that. Have it in three-game cycles. This game not occurring shows how nobody cares about what fans want. They don't. These two teams, and I don't know for sure who's responsible, but in a case like this, when a rivalry gets canceled, it's usually the bigger, more prominent team that's responsible, and that would be Pitt. It's an example of Pitt, I'm assuming, just not caring what the fans want. Not even what their fans want. Their fans want to keep playing Duquesne. It's not like Penn State in football where their fans don't care about Pitt. The Pitt-Duquesne game, I think, was mutually anticipated by both sets of supporters. For that game to be canceled even for a year, that's ridiculous. It shows a lack of respect for the fans and a lack of respect for tradition in the city, a city which your school bears the name of. Assuming it's Pitt's decision, and if I had to guess, I'd say it is, yeah. The NCAA basketball tournament started today, the tournament proper, but I don't care. I might talk about it a little, like when we're down to the Final Four. But like I always say, I have pruned the interest tree as I get older, and I have lopped off March Madness. It's great if you gamble. It's great if your job is so insignificant that you could skip work and drink. And it's great if you got a rooting interest. But for me, the answers to those questions are no, no, and no. You also got the NCAA Wrestling Championships at PPG Paints Arena this weekend. It's a great event. It sells a lot of tickets. But unless somebody gets hit with a chair, I'm not interested. Okay, great story now. I had some electrical work done today by CW Electrical Services, of course. They sponsor this very segment. Make the switch at cwelectricalservices.com. So the electrician gets there, and he noticed some of the rock and roll memorabilia I have around my downstairs. Posters and stuff. It's like a rich teenager's room. You know, all kinds of very nicely framed and authentic UFO posters, Liverpool posters, stuff like that. Anyway, the electrician told me he grew up near L.A. and that he was the bass player in two bands Tommy Lee was in before he joined Motley Crue. And then he showed me some photos, and it was definitely this electrician all those years ago playing in a band with Tommy Lee, who looked about 14 years old. The bands were Sweet 19 and US 101. That's what the guy said. I looked it up online. Those were two legit bands in LA before Crue, and Tommy Lee did play in both of them. Guy's name's John. Good guy. Fixed my problem. Great work. But an amazing story. He said he followed a girl to Pittsburgh years ago and stayed. What a great story, except it didn't work out with the girl. Perhaps John was too young to fall in love. Get it? I got to get to that Epiphany Church fish fry soon. Maybe tomorrow. Don't forget, I'm at the Boulevard in Greensburg tonight to watch the Penguins and Preds. And then, next Wednesday, lock up your daughters and your wives, and for that matter, any girl you might have followed here from Los Angeles, because it's the annual Great Pittsburgh Sports Debate, and it's a tequila cowboy on the north side. And they make me do it, and don't pay any of us, but it's still entertaining, despite being forced to do it without pay. Once you get there, it's fun. Once you get there, you'll have fun. So I'll see you at the Boulevard tonight in Greensburg and at the Great Pittsburgh Sports Debate next Wednesday. Now in just 30 seconds, a very special occasion. We're going to eschew Barry's Wear Boots. It is the return of intensity, intelligence, and integrity. The three I's. I notified the Angle family this was happening. I hope they're listening. It's the three I's, 30 seconds away on 105.9 The X.